أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين كذبوا بآياتنا واستكبروا عنها لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط وكذلك نجزي المجرمين لهم من جهنم مهاد ومن فوقهم غواش وكذلك نجزي الظالمين والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لا نكلف نفسا إلا وسعها أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون ونزعنا ما في صدورهم من غل تجري من تحتهم الأنهار وقالوا الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله لقد جاءت رسل ربنا بالحق ونودوا أن تلكم الجنة أورثتموها بما كنتم تعملون ونادى أصحاب الجنة أصحاب النار أن قد وجدنا ما وعدنا ربنا حقا فهل وجدتم ما وعد ربكم حقا؟ قالوا نعم فأذن مؤذن بينهم اللعنة الله على الظالمين الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا وهم بالآخرة كافرون وبينهما حجاب وعلى الأعراف رجال يعرفون كلا بسيماهم ونادوا أصحاب الجنة أن سلام عليكم لم يدخلوها وهم يطمعون صدق الله العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon the masterpiece Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to bless him and his entire family, all his wives, his household. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all his companions. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all those who have struggled and strived to learn the deen, to protect it, to practice it, to convey it to others against all odds. Because we have been taught by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you are going to learn the deen, put it into practice with the intention of conveying it to others, then don't expect a very fruitful and happy road. But the road will be full of difficulty and that will result in the goodness of the akhirah. So against all odds, we find that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Tabi'een and those who followed up to our times, there are those who struggle and strive to convey the message. We make dua for them. We ask Allah to protect them all. And we ask Allah to bless every single one of us and to use us to serve the deen. I am sitting here in a position that indeed is an honor for myself, and at the same time I feel unfit to be seated here in front of you. In the presence of so many scholars that I am seeing, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let this majlis itself be a means of our entry into Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the true benefit of the entire revelation that came down through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that chain all the way to us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those whose hearts are always softened up towards goodness. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. Give good news to those worshippers of mine who listen to whatever is being said. So you will find someone saying something, this one saying the other thing, that one saying this thing, so many different people saying so many different things. But good news to the one who follows that which is the purest and the best, that which is beneficial. So today you have something that is unavoidable, something that we have noticed in every community, and that is the politics of the community. So against all odds of the politics of every single community, we have to rise above that and benefit from everybody. Whatever goodness we can take from him, we take. From the other one, we take. From the other one, we take. We excuse them for their shortcomings and we don't take the evil or the bad if it is there, and we make dua for one and all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us truly from those who fall in this verse. فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِي الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ. Al-qawla meaning all speech, everything that is there to be said. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ. Then they follow that which is the best of it. So, what to say and where to begin? We have a shaykh of ours whom we have lost, but he has done great work, and that work inshaAllah to a great degree is Khalid. Khalid meaning it will last forever, for a long, long time, because we have captured it in various ways. We have audio, we have internet, we have CDs, we have so many other different methods in which Allah has allowed us to capture this. Whereas when it comes to those before our generations, there was nothing to capture it. We have heard of our akabirin, besides the books that they have written, besides the books they have written, we don't have audio to hear them. Today we can hear the voice. We can refresh our memories. And this is a bigger hujjah for us or against us. It is a bigger sign for us or against us. Let me take you back to the history of Islam. You find in the Muslim countries, what used to happen is whenever the enemy was taking over, they had big, big books. The enemy, first thing they did was to take these books and destroy them, because they wanted Islam and the syllabuses and what have you. Syllabus is a new word, but at that time whatever there was to teach, they wanted to delete it so that the people would be able to drift from Islam and forget. So what our ulama did, they had a mukhtasar, which they quickly wrote. Those who knew the book, they quickly compiled something in a few pages, mukhtasar of that big book. So when the big book went, we still had a mukhtasar. And after some time, people got hold of the mukhtasar and they made it mutawwal once again, which means they rewrote. And this is the true history. I'm just putting it in a little cap for you. They rewrote, explaining why this man has got a summary of what was said and what was initially said. And a lot of it was captured once again. But some of it might have been lost in the process. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. When it comes to the Quran itself, nothing is lost. When it comes to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as days are passing, we are more and more fortunate that we have technology that helps us to learn more and more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. I always say that as the brains are becoming lazy and the bodies of the youngsters are becoming lazier to read, Allah has created audio. So now instead of reading, you can listen. Many people are lazy to read today. Whereas there was a time when people had to memorize because they could not read. There was no one to teach them how to read. I know of one of the mashayikh that has taught me, Sheikh Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Shanqiti. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a good life. He is one of the Maliki ulama in Saudi Arabia. He has told us that we were forced to memorize the mutun. The mutun meaning these
major books of fiqh. We were forced to memorize the mutun in the same way that one of you memorized the Quran. Which means we had to memorize the books of fiqh. And this, we are not talking of someone of previous generations. We're talking of people who lived in a country, Mauritania. People who lived in a country where technology was not advanced. It's only now that we are in the age of the internet and the cyber and so on, which has, I would like to think, more evil than good. But for those who would like to use it properly, it is like a very, very sharp knife in your pocket. If you are bending this way or that way, it might pierce your lap and it might make a big cut on your leg so you won't be able to walk again. But if you want to use it correctly, you need to know how to bend and how to move because it will remain in your pocket. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good use of technology. So we have our Shaykh, mashallah, we make dua, Allah grant him Jannah. It reminds me of a question asked by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Hajjat al-Wada', the final pilgrimage. He says to his Sahaba radiallahu anhum, after conveying the long khutbah and so on, that, have I conveyed the message? That was the question. They said, yes, O Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked them again, and one narration says he asked them for a third time. And when he got a positive answer that yes, you have conveyed the message, he raised his hands and he says, Allahumma fashhad, O Allah, bear witness, I have conveyed, now it's up to them, subhanallah. What have we learnt over the years? I will tell you what I have learnt. And that's what I want to share today. Firstly, it is of utmost importance that we know that there are two types of sin that we need to abstain from. Allah says in the Quran, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ. We should abstain from open sin and hidden sin. That sin which is apparent and clear, and that which is hidden. The hidden sins refer to so many different sins. The open sins refer to so many different sins. And I'm sure every one of us has an understanding of what is an open sin, what is a hidden sin. Let us realize that the more venomous and the more dangerous sins for us are the ones that are not seen, even sometimes by ourselves. We can't see it with our eyes, we feel it. What are the examples? We know that we have been taught in this masjid over the decades, we have been taught to abstain from hasad. Hasad meaning jealousy. And do you know what is the detriment of jealousy? Simple hadith which we've heard in this masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna al-hasada ya'kulu al-hasanat kama ta'kulu an-nar al-hatab." Hasad and jealousy will eat away your good deeds. It means someone has got good deeds. He would not have said that if the person didn't have good deeds. So this means hasad is a quality that can engulf a person who's a five times namazi. A person who reads salah and a person who reads tilawah of the Quran and understands and tries to sacrifice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hasad can overtake them. The evidence of that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, it will eat your good deeds. So he's addressing those who have good deeds to say, watch out. Allahu Akbar. So that is hasad. It's a quality of the heart. It's a batin disease. It's a disease inside. What does it do? It will eat away your good deeds. In what way? In the same way that the fire eats a dry log. Al-hatab, a dry log. So you have a dry log and you put fire on it. What happens? When we have this jealousy for people in the masjid, when we have this jealousy for people who are ulama, when we have this jealousy for people who have achieved worldly, when we have this jealousy for people who have achieved in any way, people who might have been given looks, people who have been given a happier condition according to our own eyes, that jealousy is like a log in that particular place. So if you are jealous of someone in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's like a log here. What happens? The log is burnt. The carpet is burnt. The walls are burnt. 20, 30 people around the fire die. Because what happens? They are intoxicated. So spiritually, things are burning. You might go to a masjid. If people in there have animosity and hatred and jealousy, you won't achieve goodness. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, there will come a time close to Qiyamah, masajiduhum amira, wa hiya kharabun min al-huda. In fact, let me tell you the beginning of that hadith. He says, لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه ولا من القرآن إلا رسمه. He says, there will come a time when nothing will remain of Islam besides the name, Islam. What are you? Say, I'm a Muslim. But your life is heading in another angle altogether. A different direction. Person with a bottle in one hand and casino pulley on the other, and he's saying, I'm a Muslim. Today we were talking with someone telling me that in one of the casinos they have a Jamaat Khana. They have a Jamaat Khana. If that is the case, and another brother was saying that one of them was complaining at the casino, one person who works at the casino met him somewhere, says, you're a Muslim. You know what? In Ramadan, we lose lots of business. He says, but why? He says, because those who frequent here are all Muslims. It is an addiction. Just like pornography is an addiction, zina is an addiction, these things are very addictive because they are the paths of shaitan. Shaitan has a magnet, a very powerful magnet. And if you have been there once, he will magnetize you to want to come again and again until you get yourself dipped in that anti-magnetic electrolysis or what you want to call it. That is when you will be able to now abstain from it. May Allah protect us from sin. So sin is very magnetic. When it comes to hasad, we're talking of this quality of the heart. It is very, very dangerous because the hadith says there will come a time when nothing will remain from Islam besides the word Islam. And nothing will remain from the Quran besides the wording. The wording meaning you open it, people might know how to read it, but their lives are being led in a way that is very far from the message of revelation. So we need to make sure that we are not moving signs of Qiyamah. Then he says, Masajiduhum Amira. The word Amira means several things. I want to take up one of the meanings. Amir can also mean it is full. The masjids are full. The masjids are full. وَهِيَ خَرَابٌ مِّنَ الْهُدَى. But you don't really get guidance in them. You don't know guidance. This is why we always tell ulama, and I mentioned this the other day in Jumu'ah as well, a masjid, we should be having as many programs as possible after every other salah. We should be having maximum programs, even if 10, 15 people are going to sit. And the other thing is, every one of us must make an effort to sit at some time of the day. Choose a program. Twice a week, thrice a week, I'm going to make an effort 1 hour. You know, it's very sad that we have to give the examples of those who follow other religions when they are following batil, but their churches are full. Wallahi, on a Sunday you notice, sometimes Wednesday night you notice, some of the evenings they have their own services. Every one of them walking with a Bible in their hands. We have the most blessed book, the Quran. How many of us are prepared to come to the masjid for half an hour, 1 hour, and sit in a bayan for an hour without complaining of the heat and the cold and this and that? And we have huda, we have guidance, unlike them. What is magnetizing them is shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson. We are known as Ummatul Quran, the Ummah of the Quran, which means we are part of those whom the Quran was revealed for, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can we be disinterested in this Quran and in the message of the Sharia, in the message of the Anbiya? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and strengthen us. It requires great energy. If you go to work from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, remember, you will probably earn, if you are a salary earner, not more than 1,000 rands a day. I think that is very, very, you know, realistic, meaning beyond realistic. 1,000 rands a day. No, don't come to me, I don't have that job. We are ready to work for 1,000 rands from what time to what time? 8 to 5. Agreed. Boss comes and tell you stand, sit, you sit, stand, you stand, sit, you sit. 3-4 times. He says, I'm paying you 1 grand, 1,000. And after that we come home, no Maghrib, no Isha, no nothing. And we go and sleep, ready for the following day in the morning, 8 o'clock. We're rushing back. What? For another 1,000 rands. There is a certain currency. The rand is fluctuating. It's playing games at the moment. Ask the hajis, they will tell you. There's a certain currency that is the only currency accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about that? Allah is not telling you 8 to 5. Allah is saying, you know what? I just want you to lead your life in such a way that you will have happiness firstly here, and thereafter in the akhirah, you will be able to use that currency. We call it thawab, reward. You'll be able to use the currency. Like we've said in the past, if we were to read salah, and for every raka'at you read, you find one gold coin packing in front of you. We would read 30, 40 raka'ats for Isha salah. Some people all night they read, following morning go and buy a house. Allahu Akbar. So we need to understand there is something more valuable than this gold coin that we will be achieving. But shaitan, and this is the point we want to raise, shaitan is very, very jealous of every deed of ours. He is planning, this banda, this worshipper has now done the deed finally. He has finally come to do the deed, to realize that the deed has to be done. How can I take his reward away? So he creates jealousy in the heart for someone else. And this is why we say everything becomes messed. When people die spiritually, some people are moving around on the globe, spiritually they are dead. Nothing, they're not alive. This is described even in the Quran. That a person walking on the earth who is full of nur, is he similar to the one walking on the earth as one who is completely dead? Nothing, doesn't even exist. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this. We need to be live and alive. Doing good deeds and protecting those good deeds. I was reading once in Ma'arif al-Quran, many years back, and I came across something that made me weep. What was it? First time in my life, I read a tafsir where someone explains, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. The Quran says, whoever جَاءَ means to come with a good deed, we will multiply it for them by 10. So what happened is, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, that مَنْ جَاءَ, the verb used is جَاءَ, mean to come. To come means, if you come with your good deed intact on the day of Qiyamah, we will then multiply by 10 because you deserve it to be multiplied. So he says it is more difficult to protect your deed after it is done than to merely do it. So today we've read Salah. Salah was not a major issue. MashaAllah, we can get up for Fajr, put your clock, you have the willpower. We will even be doing it for the sake of Allah. May Allah accept it from us. But what is 10 times more difficult is to protect that deed once you've done it. Don't give it away to someone because you were jealous of them, because you wronged them, because you deceived them, because you were backbiting about them, because you were slanderous about them, because you were spreading rumor about them. So this is the meaning of the multiplication. It doesn't mean you do a good deed. Allah didn't say, مَنْ عَمِلَ حَسَنَةً فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever does a deed, it will be multiplied by 10. He uses the word everywhere in the Quran, whoever comes with a good deed. That is a beautiful explanation. And wallahi, it brings tears to the eyes because so many people do not know that. So many people do not realize that. And many people, sometimes we read salah in the first saf, or mashallah, 5 times salah, we have fulfilled sunnah outwardly and so on. But inside, there are some of our batin habits which have resulted in all our good deeds going to that man and this one and the other one and that one. We were reading some ahadith in a book known as Al-Lu'lu wal-Marjan fi Muttafaq alayhi Shaykhan. It's a hadith that has compiled all the Muttafaq alayhi ahadith, a book that has compiled all the Muttafaq alayhi ahadith. Some of the ahadith there, obviously, these now, you know, they are on the highest level of correctness, these ahadith, inshallah. Where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, after a certain battle, were making mention of how fortunate a certain man was because he was martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, huwa fin nar, he is in the fire. But outwardly he was so pious, he took part in the battle, he defended Islam and he killed so many of the enemy and he did this and he did that whilst the battle was at its peak. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after that, towards the end of the hadith, the explanation is made that this person, even though it appears that he was martyred, he actually could not bear the pain of the wounds he had, so he killed himself prematurely. So that was suicide. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. So this was the explanation, that look, sometimes outwardly people are in order, but inside they are not in order. And this is what we speak about. This is what we learned from our Shaykh. And this is what we learned at the same time from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why it was taught to us. So it's important we abstain from hasad. It's important we abstain from so many different qualities, jealousy, envy, hatred, enmity. And it's important also that we abstain from gossip. The reason why we say gossip is because the hadith says, لا يدخل الجنة قتات. This also is muttafaq alayh. One who carries tales will not enter Jannah. You hear a story from here and you just want to relate it there. It's a true story, but you want to relate it there. That is called qattat, nammam. Someone, yas'a bayna an-nasi bin-namima. He carries a tale from this one to that one. There's no place in Jannah for that person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Now what more you want? Allahu Akbar. May Allah safeguard myself, yourselves, our sisters, our brothers, everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. There is a vehicle here. It's a great ibadah for you to get up, my beloved brother. ND535432, white polo, inshallah. Great ibadah, inshallah. May Allah grant you ajr and reward. So it's important for us to know that we need to stay away from this. Today is the age of rumor spreading and backbiting. Let's face the facts. Good people, they tell you, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. But that is the meaning of ghiba. You don't know what is ghiba. ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. To mention the truth about your brother or sister in his or her absence in a way that they would have disliked it if they were there is ghiba. وَالْغِيبَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الزِّنَا. And ghiba is worse than zina. So we look at people and say, hey, that one's having an affair with that one. This one's having... But what you've just done now is worse than that affair. Allah protect us. This is why the hadith says, طُوبَى لِمَنْ شَغَلَهُ عَيْبُهُ عَنْ عُيُوبِ النَّاسِ. You know, Tuba, according to some narrations, is a place in Jannah. Tuba is a special place in Jannah. So it would be correct for us to translate the hadith and say, give good news of Jannah to the one, or a special place in Jannah, to the one whose own weaknesses keeps him or her occupied from engaging in the weaknesses of others. This is it. This is our life. We all have to go. We all have to die. I know of one great buzrug. He passed away now. One day he was sitting and some people were mentioning one other alim. This is a fact, it's a true story. And he said one or two things and he got up from the majlis thereafter and he told the brother who was his host that, "Bhai, take me to that alim." At night, before he slept, "I've got ghabraat. I've got, you know, I'm feeling very, very difficult. I'm feeling uneasy here. Take me to that alim." They brought this alim to the other alim's house. And he sat and he says, "Maulana, I just want to tell you, we spoke about you for half an hour at so and so's house. Mujhe akhirat ki fikr hai. Mujhe maut ki fikr hai." He says, "I have a concern for my own akhira. I have a concern for my death. Please forgive us." Imagine what type of courage that takes. A few days ago we heard of the courage of Sheikh Abdul Rahman Ali Al-Hudhayfi, where he started his Salatul Maghrib on the 24th of September, now the other week, and he realized he didn't have wudu. He realized he didn't have wudu. Imagine the iqama went, everything happened. He started his Salah, and he even said, "Subhanakallahumma." It is on Haramain recordings if anyone wants to see it. And he said the thana, and after that he just didn't start. Moments later he let his hands loose and he told the people in Arabic, "Wait 1 minute. Wait 1 minute. Intadhiru daqiqa. Wait 1 minute." What has happened? And he took off his abaya quickly and he said it again, "Wait 1 minute." And he ran out of the door, he made wudu. Minute later he came back, "Stow i'tadilu, Allahu Akbar." Look at this. Why did he do that? Akhirat ki fikr hai. There you are. That is the concern of the akhirah. The people can say what you want. Trustees can fire you. No problem. Allah will employ you. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is what we talk about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who can learn a lesson. So it's important that we develop both the inner good qualities and the outer good qualities. When we develop the good qualities, we talk of what is known as Ithar. Ithar is a very, very important quality where you give preference to others over yourself. Today we have a business deal, and this is happening amongst our Muslim business people. A man has struck a deal with someone. After it is struck, you phone him and say, "Bhai, I give you a better deal, cancel it." لا يبع على بيع أخيه. When the Prophet ﷺ says, you never strike a deal upon the deal of your brother. You don't strike a deal. If the deal was still pending and something, in fact, a good Muslim would hold. I know when I was in Medina, there was a time when people were still of a higher level, when wallahi, I remember there was a little market, and someone went to buy a cloak. And they said, "We'd like to take this cloak." And the brother, good mashallah Muslim, he said, "You know what, I have got the cloak you want, but you know, whole day, the brother across the road, no one bought from him, he's got the same cloak, please go across and buy from him." Istaftih lahu. You know what that means? Go and at least start his business for the day. Now, this is what we are talking about. Now we have what is known as barakah. A lot of the young of today, and sometimes even the old, we are guilty of something, not realizing that barakah does not mean you get multiplication in numbers, but multiplication in the use of whatever little you have. That is barakah. Barakah is the blessing. A man earns 1,000 rands, And that is so good for him that he is living, his wife, his children, everybody is okay and they're happy and they're all, you know, smiling and at school and whatever else and so on. Whereas you can have someone else 50,000 rands and in the first week it's gone. This is the meaning of barakah and the lack of it. So ask Allah. Make dua to Allah. It is something else that we are lacking. Sometimes our life is in order, we're carrying on. Every day have a certain time where we cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Get up early in the morning. I normally like to make mention, and I'm sure we've heard it, of the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the best time of qabuliyat of dua. The best time when dua is accepted. When 1/3 of the night remains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out. He calls out, هَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ فَأَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِ. Anyone seeking forgiveness so that I can forgive him. That is the time of tahajjud. هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ أَوْ هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ وَهَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Anyone who wants to repent to me, I can accept the repentance. Anyone who wants anything they want from me, I will give them. Now, it doesn't mean, subhanAllah, that tahajjud is a farad salah or something. We're talking of a time. We're not talking of salah here. Tahajjud salah has its own fadila and virtue, indeed. But we're talking of raising your hands at that time of the night, set your clock for that time, get up in your bed at least, and make a dua at least if you're not going to get up for the salah itself. A lot of people think that, you know, I must get up for tahajjud in order to make the dua. We will tell you it is better for you to get up for tahajjud. But if you haven't got up for tahajjud, don't block yourself from something else which is happening at that time. Don't block it. So these are two different things. If you are to do both, nurun ala nur. If not, do one at least. Sometimes person might say, you know, I'm in the condition of janaba, I need to have a bath, what I'm going to do and so on. Reality, let's face the facts. Who said it's haram to make dua? Allahu Akbar. Look at the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua. Ask Allah, open your arms or your hands, raise them, weep to Allah. Ya Allah, I know, I have read, I have been told, you are calling out. I am the one asking for forgiveness, forgive me. One thing also very important that we've learned, and this comes, we are coming down the points. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very, very important that we declare it firstly by tongue. And then we let our entire actions display it. I have found very beneficial to, throughout the day, to tell Allah, Ya Allah, I love you. Allahumma inni uhibbuka wa uhibbu rasulaka fa ahibbani waj'alni mahbuban bayna al-malaikati wan-nas. Oh Allah, I love you. I love your messenger. We might be weak. You know, sometimes we are very far away, but Ya Allah, we love you. We love your messenger. Ya Allah, make us loved by the angels. You love us and make us loved by the angels and the others. You know, when you're entering a city, there is a sunnah dua to read. Try it out. See what happens. Allahumma barik lana fiha. It's a dua. You will find it in the books. Allahumma rzuqna janaha. Oh Allah, grant us barakah. We are entering this city or this town. Grant us barakah in it. Oh Allah, give us the benefit of the produce of this city. Wa habibna ila ahliha. And Ya Allah, subhanallah, look at this dua. Habibna ila ahliha. Let the people of the city love us. Wa habib salihi ahliha ilayna. And let us only love the pious from this city. Look at how powerful the dua is. So Ya Allah, let the people love us. But with us, help us to be able to distinguish. Because you're entering a city, you don't know sometimes. You don't know who is good and who is not good. Ya Allah, habib salihi ahliha ilayna. Let us love those who are salih, those who are pious in the city. And see what happens. Constantly make, as the plane is landing, make the dua. As your car is arriving, you know, make the dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the fulfillment of the sunnah. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so vast that we will need 10 lifetimes to study it. 10 lifetimes. It has covered every single aspect. Imagine if every movement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of the sunnah, then imagine how long it will take us to study everything that happened from his life and in those years of nubuwa and so on. We definitely need to make a sacrifice to learn our deen. So this is why I was saying, in the same way, we have so much time for our bosses in the dunya because of a salary they are giving us. And if we don't have bosses, we are self-employed. We have so much time for our customers because they are big customer. This man is big customer. He gives me business of 20,000 rands a day or a week or a month, whatever it is. Big customer. So we have promotion. We have this. We think of everything. Subhanallah. Can't we think of sacrificing 1/10 of that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The time we're talking about, the effort, the energy. When your business is going bad, you sit and you think up ideas, plans, what's going wrong. You go to the expert, accountant, whoever else, someone else, you know, something happening here. I think we need a forensic sort of, thing here. Someone, the money is seeping from somewhere. There's a little bag with a hole and so on. We want to find it. Depending on the size of your business, we will all be concerned. Why is it going wrong? What about our deen? What about our deen? What about our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And do not be mistaken. Allah did not promise you that you will have everything you want in the dunya. Never. Some people don't even understand istikhara. They say istikhara means you get, you know, if the response of the istikhara is you must propose for marriage. And the response of that person is you must turn down the proposal. Then that's the best thing for you. You go ahead and propose and they turn it down. That's your islah. Your correction. It doesn't mean, how come I had positive, she had negative? Why? You don't say why. You go do what you have to do, they will do what they have to do. The entire response of the whole thing is what was better for your deen and the dunya. Go and read the meaning of the dua of istikhara. It doesn't say you're going to have eternal bliss. Some people say, why did I go through divorce when we did istikhara and everything was good? Because you made the dua to say, Ya Allah, whatever is better for my deen and dunya, let it happen. It was best for you to go through a divorce to wake you up. No one said it's going to be guaranteed that your marriage is going to be rosy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So Allah did not guarantee you that you would get what you want. In fact, you will be granted the contentment with what you have. You will be granted the ability to appreciate that there is a bigger picture. Someone goes through one problem and they will know that, Ya Allah, you've saved me from something bigger. They go through one problem, they will say, Allah, I've been through a minor thing. Those people across the road have been through far worse than this. May Allah open our doors. So these are the things we've been taught. These are the things we will continuously be taught. This is why we need to attend whatever programs we can attend. Make an effort. Some people say, no, I'm not going to attend this alim's talk because, you know, he doesn't speak so well. Can I tell you what I've been taught? Sometimes you look at the status of the alim. Go and attend even if you doze off. The mere fact that you were there, how you know, maybe Allah granted forgiveness to those who were sitting in that majlis. And you might have been dozing, but you were one of them. Kabul. But when we kept ourselves away, right now we are seated here. Do you know what the hadith says of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, whenever people gather, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in a place where they are remembering Allah, and they want to exchange notes, meaning they want to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single time that happens, the angels surround them. The blessings descend. The angels make dua for them. Allah has mercy upon them. Subhanallah. Right now we are seated here. Wallahi, we might not see, but there are angels surrounding us. May Allah grant us ikhlas and sincerity. And the sakina is coming down. Sakina. So when a person is in the clutches of the devil, they won't be able to come in the first place. They will say, no, I don't want to go. That's shaitan's initial plan. Then if they end up going, what will happen after that? They do something good and so on. As they're coming out, shaitan says, hang on, you've benefited too much. I better sort you out right now. So we start talking bad about one uncle we saw. See that man driving his Mercedes like he owns the whole world. That statement itself, as we walking out of salah, our salah went to that man, bichara in Mercedes, he doesn't know I got 10 people salah already sitting here. Allah grant us spiritual Mercedes. This is just an example. Those who know me, we just give examples off the cuff. But it's a reality. Why must we give? There is a Palestinian doctor whom we live with. Very, very good man, mashallah. So one day he told me, wallahi, I don't like to talk about anybody. I said, why? Meaning nothing. Nothing at all. We know, but we want to know the reason here. He says, my good deeds are too dear to me. He says, if you had a gold coin, how would you protect it? He says, my salah is more important than a gold coin. He says, I want to hold on to it. I can't give it to anyone. I'm too stingy for giving. I can't give my good deeds. So why sometimes we make tilawa of the Quran, we do dhikr and so on, we give it away. this hasad, this evil thought, this bad feeling within us. Let us now rise above that. It's about time. And we benefit from all the ulama in our midst. We may never get the caliber of the sheikh we had. We may never get that. Who knows? There may come a time when Allah might grant qabuliyat, where we might even get something higher than that. Allah knows best. But the difficulty is, we as individuals need to start benefiting from every single person we can and have a positive attitude towards the ulama. What does shaitan do? Shaitan does not want us to have leadership in the Muslim ummah. Nothing. So today you ask a person, who are the leaders in the Muslim ummah? Everybody will collectively say nobody. No one. Any city, any town you go, if everyone will have a different answer. This one, the other one, no, that one. But you have, every time shaitan works his plan in such a way that any alim who is doing some form of good, someone somewhere will have something bad to say about him. And that will discourage those who were rejected in the first place. So never let community politics prohibit you from benefiting from one whom some might be speaking against, when you know that you need to take whatever goodness you can. I gave the example in one of my bayans, one of the days whilst I was here, of how we make use of people. You have one man, he's a mechanic, mashallah. Beautiful, powerful mechanic. So you take your car to him, and he does your car for you every time. He fixes it perfect. You feel the beautiful drive after you leave. And you know your heart gives him dua. He doesn't rip you off. He does nothing. Anything he does, and it's quick, and he gives you 5-star service. But when you have a plumbing problem at home, what do? You call him, bhai, bring your grease, bring your overalls. I got a problem here. You're not going to do that, because now you need a plumber. You call a plumber, he's your friend. Then you have a problem with your heart, you go to the heart specialist, and so on. When it comes to ulama, different ulama have been given different gifts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some might be able to benefit you with Quran. Some might be able to benefit you with Islah. I like to say that you will only be able to be corrected by the one who knows you thoroughly. And you give him the chance to correct you. You're living with him and he says, brother, I think you're arrogant. Imagine a sheikh telling you, I think you're arrogant. I think you need to deal with this issue of pride. I think today, nowadays, a lot of the mashayikh are scared to word it exactly that way. Because they think this person will probably go away. So you rather come carefully and tell the person, look, you know, you give an ishara or two in the bayan or something of that nature, lest, you know, we hope it benefits the people and so on. But we need to have a relation with someone or with a few people at least who can tell us, brother, you are wrong. Finished. Straight, direct. Hey, this is important. This is how you grow. Because, you know, it's very, very strange how when you are doing something, say you are going to Johannesburg, you're driving, and there's a detour, and now you've turned, because there's a detour, and you don't know, your tom-tom cannot help you, nothing can help you, because now you're going through somebody's farm. And then you find, now I don't know where to go. So you will be making dua, Ya Allah, send somebody here to show me how to get out of this mess I am in. You make dua, because you're stuck there, in the middle of nowhere. Because you want to just get to Johannesburg, or you want to get back to the road. That is a physical problem. Apply the same rule in our spiritual lives. We want to go to Jannah. There are so many detours in our lives we have taken. We make dua, Ya Allah, send someone who can do my islah. Someone who can tell me, brother, calm down. Your head is now blown. MashaAllah, if it blows more, a little pin will pop it. But when it's small, inshallah, even if you pricked and you pushed with the pinches, nothing will happen to it. Allah protect us. No matter what you have achieved, deen or dunya, never let it make your head bloat. No, we are just a number. An-nasu sawasiya ka asnanil mish. You must have someone whom you look up to, whom you take goodness from, whom you allow to correct you, and this is when you will be able to benefit. You know, there is a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, an-nasu ma'adina. كمعادن الذهب والفضة فخيارهم في الجاهلية خيارهم في الإسلام إذا فقهوا. People are like the mines, a mine of gold and silver. People are like mines of gold and silver. So the best of them in Islam are the best of them before Islam. Those who were good before Islam, when they accept Islam, they will also be the best. Why? The hadith says only if they understand. There are several interpretations, I'm giving you one of them. Because a mine, the amount of gold in it is already there. It depends on your effort, how much you're going to extract, but it's already there. So your effort is not going to make more gold under the ground. The gold is there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The goodness within every individual is ingrained, but someone needs to extract it. And to extract it, you need earth-moving equipment. You need to hit hard. You need to knock solid. And the earth will shake. And then you take out a big rock. And after that, you break it up into smaller pieces. And you heat it. And you take out little trickling gold. And thereafter, you put it into a blast furnace. And then you get a brick. After a lot of heat is applied and you've separated the rock. Now you got the brick. Then you send it to the jewelry. Meaning to those who make jewelry. What do they do? Precision. They poke it with a pin here and there. They make a little thing and they make it so beautiful. It now looks so nice. People want to buy it. Why? It's a necklace, mashallah. Where did that necklace start? Under the ground. What effort was required? We need to make a similar effort to make us acceptable necklaces. So on the day of Qiyamah, we can be something bright and shining. May Allah grant that to us. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will recognize us on the day of Qiyamah, he will recognize us through the places that were washed when we were making wudu. That is the hadith. So if we are to wash these places, every time you're washing it, think that, Ya Allah, I'm making this wudu, but I want to do it so properly, so I can be recognized through the shining of these places. This is the jewelry that we're talking about. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us lesson. Islam today, in a lot of cases, has been made into a ceremony. Ceremony meaning, no one knows why they're doing what they're doing sometimes. People just say, okay, do this. So you find people, Allahu Akbar, the mind is not there, the heart is not there, nothing is there. They're busy wanting to finish the salah, carry on. By I am five times namazi, alhamdulillah, shukr. We need to make it our belief that there is always room for improvement. We need to make it our belief that we have not got anywhere spiritually. We need to make it our belief and our concern. That is called the fikr. The minute we think, mashallah, I'm happy, I read my five salah, I'm dressed properly, I don't do this, this doesn't happen, that doesn't happen, we automatically are getting happy. Shaitan is the only one who makes you happy with your spiritual condition. Because your spiritual condition, look at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right to the last moment, he was still continuing further and further and further and further. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept on telling him, and he kept on engaging in ibadah. Not one day did he say, right, I'm happy now, I can sit and I can relax. He never relaxed until death overtook him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's important for us to increase the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Ya Allah, we love you. Repeat it. Even if you want to say it in the English language, if you don't know the Arabic of it, and you understand what you are saying, Ya Allah, I love you. I love your Nabi, Ya Allah, the Rasul. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is gauged by how much you follow him. That is the test. Like when you want to weigh a bag, you don't just look at it and see, this is a small bag, must be weighing light. You need the scale to weigh it thoroughly. It might have gold in it, it will be very, very heavy. So the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not just gauged by chanting a few slogans here and there. No, anyone can do that. It is gauged by your life. Does it look similar to his? Are you emulating, emanating? Are you trying? If that is the case, that's a sign of the love. May Allah increase us in love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good understanding. Let me give the younger people one example or two. Today we have football on the globe. This football example is something that the youngsters understand. When you have a person like, we shouldn't even be mentioning these names, but let's say one or two. You have a person like Beckham. I have seen Muslim children with a hairstyle just like his. Wearing a shirt with his name on. Walking like his. They grow their dari like him. And I have said in the past that the day Beckham starts sitting on the floor and eating, believe me, all his fans, they'll do the same. No one will call them fanatic. The day he grows a big beard, all his fans will do the same. No one will call them fanatic. Why? Because that's Beckham. What qualification does he have? He knows how to kick a ball. Bas. He knows how to kick a ball. That's all. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows how to get you to Jannah. Allahu Akbar. then we're not ready to wear the same type of clothing. Subhanallah. Have a hairstyle like his. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have a beard like his. May Allah make us strong. Try at least. Where are we? This football, what's going to happen to it? And then another thing, go and study the lives of those people that people are now following through trends. Almost all of them, their lives are in a mess. In a total mess. They're either on drugs, they're either, you know, on antidepressants, they have problems in their homes, they have so many affairs, their marriages are breaking, they have children who are astray. Sometimes their lives are such that they themselves are suicidal. But they only know how to kick a ball, so everybody is following them. Look at this. So when we die, what will happen? You want a ball to go with us. There is another example I want to give about football. You see, football starts, normally the match lasts 90 minutes. It's a powerful example. What is the whole aim of this match? Do you know? You have to spend 90 minutes struggling, running, trying to do what? To score as many goals as you can on that side. And after 90 minutes, the whistle is blown and everything is over. How many ever goals you got in, you got in. What you didn't, you didn't. Do you ever see a match where people have stopped and they're sitting and talking to each other and the minutes are ticking? Have you ever seen that? Ever in history? No. Our life is like a football match. We have 90 years, well, 70 years, maybe 60 to 70, more or less. The whistle is going to be blown. Our lives should be a struggle from day one to the end. How many goals can we score to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you run in one direction. Never will you plant a home goal. You know how bad it is when people plant a home goal. They have to make tawbah in public. Yes. So we need to know this. It's a real example. Why do we give these examples? Because حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ عُقُولِهِمْ. Talk to the people according to what they understand. So today people know how rugby works, cricket works. When we play cricket, what happens? You try your best to get it up for a six. Six happens, mashallah. That six is our tahajjud. Once a month, at least score a six, man. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us good spiritual cricketers. And may Allah make us really people who can understand. These examples I've given you, they are examples that are deep. Yes, one might think, look, it is cheap to give example of football, but what do we do? World Cup comes, it comes right to South Africa. So the examples are there. Look at them. That is their dedication. They never do something wrong. They are never found. If they are offside, they are penalized. When we are offside, we will be penalized. But raise your hands, ask Allah to forgive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. After increasing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and understanding that shaitan does not want us to love Allah, we want to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I told you moments ago, his love is gauged by how we are emulating his example. How much we are on the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, it is made up of two. Outward and inward. Sometimes people ask you, what should I start with? Brother, start with whatever is easier for you. But start with something, because shaitan is such that he will keep you questioning the same question for 10 years. Then you die in the process without having started anything. So start somewhere. Start anyway. Bismillah and go ahead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to improve our inside and our outside. Another very important point. Never let a sin bog you down. If you've committed a sin, repent from it truly and carry on. Because we learn that from the time of Adam alayhi salam. If a person allows the sin to bog them down, it will make them stop reading salah. It will make them stop engaging in ibadah. They will feel like, no, forgiveness is not for me. I have done something that is beyond forgiveness. Look at the hadith where a man killed 99 people. He went and he asked someone, look, is there any tawbah for me? They said, no, nothing for you. He killed him also. 100 dead, gone. Then he asked another person who was an alim, he knew, and he says, is there any tawbah for me? He says, make tawbah to Allah. Allah can forgive anything. Allah forgives whatever he wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the individual. So with us, never lose hope. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Don't ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah will forgive all your sins. Then we need to know something over and above that. We need to develop a link with the specialists in our midst. You know, we are sitting in a country where, wallahi, people envy us. We have enough masajid with minaras, ma'adhin. Alhamdulillah. Still we are building so many. We are free to come for Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha. We are free to dress with our niqabs and hijabs and our headgear, our beards, daris and kurtas, whatever else you want. We are free to lay the musalla anywhere you want and read your salah. We are free, alhamdulillah, to teach the Quran, to learn it, to have our makatib and our madaris and our darul ulooms and so on. Wallahi, remember, if we are not going to maximize the use of it, Allah can take it away from us. He has already taken it away from others across the globe. Just check the news and you will see what happens. Just check it on the net. I have read recently that in France, they no longer allow you to prostrate whilst others who are not Muslim are looking at you. Nowhere in public. If someone catches you going into ruku or sujood, you will be jailed. Well, I'm not joking. You may have seen it. It's a reality. This has happened in France. They passed the decree. It's law to say that you are not allowed to pray in a public place. If the masjid is overflowing, the people who are overflowing, they must just go home. The cops and the people are waiting around with all their handcuffs and everything to arrest as many people who are reading salah outside the door of the masjid. You're not allowed. So I have a friend in France. So he tells me, "Ya Sheikh, the benefit of it is two things. For the first time in history, we are doing stow i'tadilu properly. First time in history, we are standing shoulder to shoulder, squashed like what was the sunnah of the time of the Prophet ﷺ. First time in history, people are coming for Jumu'ah at 10 o'clock in the morning. So it's solved one problem. Allahu Akbar. Let us start from now. So Allah never lets us see that day. We cannot see it happening, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause that if we are ungrateful. Ingratitude is when Allah gives you something and you don't make use of it. You know, there are two verses. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the evil that has been surrounding a community or within as an ummah unless and until every individual changes themselves. I'm sure we've heard that verse before. But there is another verse that a lot of people forget to speak about. The opposite of this. ذلك بأن الله لم يكن مغيرا نعمة أنعمها على قوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. That verse is even more powerful. Allah says, Allah will never take a ni'mah away from you unless and until you have changed your deeds and you deserve it to be taken away from you. That's a verse. A lot of people forget that there is also this verse. So when you are in a ni'mah, part and parcel of the gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make use of it and to thank Allah for it and to encourage others to come to it and to make use of it in the case where it is a masjid and the deen and the teaching and so on. There are now countries in the world where the syllabuses in the Darul Ulooms, government wants to know what you're teaching, what's happening, come we want to take this out, take that out, no you can't teach this, can't teach that. Wallahi it's happening, I'm not fibbing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us deen. Whilst we are sitting, alhamdulillah, we are citizens of our countries. We are peace-loving, law-abiding citizens, inshallah. Our intention is solely to promote our deen, at least for our own children and ourselves to start with, and then to the others. The way that will happen is, let us learn to love one another. This is what we were saying, al-ithar, moments ago, to give preference to the brother over what I have myself. You know the story of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the battle. They were dying of thirst. One gives the other, the other gives the other, the other gives the other. It came back to the one. They were all gone. Subhanallah. That is a narration. We have a lot to learn from it. No one is saying you kill yourself or someone else, but at least do something. So it is very important for us to know that we develop a link with the specialists. These specialists, where are they found? They are found in our midst. They are there. Allah has kept you in a city because He wants to ask you, how was your link with the ulama of that city? Did you only get involved in the politics that was there or did you benefit from it? Did you benefit from everyone that you could benefit from? We might have to give an answer, Ya Allah, you know what, I heard this about that Maulana, so I stayed away from him. I heard this about the other one, I stayed away from that one. I heard this from that one there, I heard away from this one here, and I heard that from there, so I had to just stay at home because now all these Maulanas, they are crooks. Astaghfirullah. I heard one brother saying that, all Maulanas are crooks. Crooking you of what? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanse our ears. We should not allow ourselves to hear that. Look at what happened in Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the true believers, they look into their own selves. If you can easily believe someone's a crook, that means you can believe you can also steal. When someone can easily do something, they very quickly believe that someone else can do the same thing. But when you know you're looking up to someone, and you know that I can't do this, how on earth would you be able to accuse them very quickly and very fast? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us.
وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا.
The bare minimum is when you hear accusation and such false and rumor and so on, the bare minimum is to say, we should not be talking about this. Leave it, it does not concern us. Take the goodness from whoever you can. That plumber that we spoke about, or the mechanic, if he doesn't have a beard, he doesn't read his Jumu'ah sometimes and so on. Brother, you got your car fixed. Most of the time he's not even a Muslim. But you, whatever benefit you needed from him, you took it and you carried on. Agreed? The answer is yes. Here we're talking of ulama of the deen. They have goodness. Allah has used them to spread the deen. Like it or not, Allah has used them to spread the deen. You cannot afford for a split moment to divorce yourself from these friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why it's about time we spoke about this. To say, let's rise above this. We are awam, we are public, we are people who need goodness wherever it's coming from. For example, a man comes to you and says, you know what, you've got a business. Just advertise. When you advertise, different types of people will come to you and they will want to deal with you. You, what your intention is to sell your product halal. Someone comes, they are not Muslim, you sell, you make your money. Someone comes, they are Muslim, you sell, you make your money. What are you trying to do? As many people as you can benefit from materially, mashallah, you did. What about spiritually? What about spiritually? Some people, they will benefit you this way, some the other way. One day you will need this one, that one. Allah will ask you, in your city I kept 3,500 ulama. How many did you develop a link with? How many did you develop a link with? Five? At least five. Allahu Akbar. Some they will probably say, I didn't. None at all. When you have a doctor, you have 3,000 doctors in Durban. For example, I don't know, it's just a thumb suck. 3,000 doctors in Durban. When you have a problem, you will go to one of them. You have to go to one of them. You got a problem. Why then do you not develop a link with ulama? 3,000 ulama in Durban. You will have to go to one of them. You have an issue. And humble yourself, bring yourself down. You know, I remember when I was in Madinatul Munawwara, one day in our dars, there was a student who was thrown out of the dars because he was disrespectful. And Ustad told him, bring your father. Wallahi, I was sitting present. And he came a few hours later, I think he came the following day with his father. His father walked in with a police uniform with a lot of, you know, stars here and chains and a big cap and everything. The Ustad, he said, Assalamu alaikum. He says, Ana walidu fulan. I'm the father of so and so. Ustad looked at him and said, Irji' ila al-bayt, warji' bil-thawb. He says, go home, take your uniform out, come back with a kurta like me, then we'll talk. Don't come to me as though you're a big policeman here. We got a problem here we want to solve. You want to intimidate me with a uniform? Go home, wear your thawb and come back. Wallahi, this man's face became small, he went away. Then we didn't see him again. He must have come back later on and did something. Now why I'm saying this, that is cash islah. You know, Jamaat, they tell you, let's go 40 days cash. That means now you get up and move. Forget about anything else. We also want cash islah. Someone can tell you, hey brother, this is wrong. Right here, right now, change it. And this is how it is. There's the door, bhai. Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us such that we can accept that as well. So it's important for us, when we go to ulama, we must remember, come down, humble yourself. You cannot afford to take something from someone, thinking that they are now little. You know when the specialist, when you got a problem, specialist tells you, this is what you need. You say, okay, yes, what else? Please tell us. You know, we need, and you start phoning, saying, no, the specialist said this, doctor said this, doctor said that. MashaAllah, we need the doctors. We are proud of the Muslim doctors in our midst. They are doing a splendid job, mashallah. But at the same time, let us all understand, there is a spiritual doctor who will take you beyond the medical doctor. Medical doctor takes you to death, up to death. Sorry, they don't kill you, but they take you to death. They take you to death, meaning up to that point they will try and help you, so on. From that point, the spiritual doctor would now have shown you what's going to happen in the qabr, what's going to happen thereafter, and so on. Today I spoke about a program, and I want to say it again, where in Britain, there are these high school graduates, when they are graduating, they go through a Muslim leadership course, so to speak, because the non-Muslim schools have the same, they also have this. At the end of the course, after they've gone through the leadership, and you know, the salah, and they so on, and they, whatever else they go through, right at the end, they have graves dug. The graves are dug. This is true. The graves are dug. And they tell these youngsters, right, every one of you, you're going to have to go in there, 3 minutes only. We put a plank, you know, plank, not to cover it with soil or anything. We put plank there, you lie down for 3 minutes and just think, this is definitely where I'm going to be. Definitely. They say 99% of those youngsters in 3 minutes, they have shock treatment, they come out good Muslims. If that works, I think we should all try it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. May Allah open our doors. That's where we're going. We have to go to the qabr. When what will help us is the condition of our heart. What will help us is our link with Allah. What will help us is the link with the Anbiya. I was reading one tafsir of the verse.
يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ
On that day, each individual will be called with their imam. The imam is interpreted as the book. Meaning, you get your amal, you get your deeds, so you either get it in the right hand or left hand. Because of what comes after that in the verse, فَمَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ A lot of the mufassirin say that this is referring to your amal. But there are mufassirin who say, the a'imma are the rusul, the anbiya. Those anbiya who came to you, you will be resurrected behind them. And then I have seen a tafsir where a detail of that is given. What is said is that, you have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ummah. His ummah is divided into generations of people. Al-qarn, thumma al-qarn, thumma al-qarn. Each generation has its leader, the mujaddid of the qarn. Each generation has its leader. And after the leader, there are separate leaders of every society and community. So your community in your generation had certain leaders or a leader whom you followed. You will be resurrected and they will be leading you towards the bigger team. And the bigger team is that of those whom they have got the goodness from and so on, until all the teams together makes one big team of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he takes us through into Jannah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It reminded me when I heard this for the first time of what we can explain. I normally like to think to myself, how best can I explain it to the public? Because the public today, you know what is going on. You have football, you have this distraction, that distraction, you have restaurants and wimpies and you know everything else. So you need to talk to people with examples they understand. So if you have ever watched an Olympic team, what happens in it? You have hockey team, rugby team, each one has a manager, a coach, you have this team, that team, that team, then you have the athletics team, the sports team, the other team, this team, then you have the leaders of a certain cluster of teams put together, and then you have the supreme leader of Team South Africa. And then that leader now takes you as the leader of the contingent into the Olympics. It's sad we have to give this example, but just taqriban lidhahan, to bring it closer to the mind. So we need to know we have to follow someone somewhere here to get some goodness, especially as awam, members of the public. What link do we have? We have to read salah in the masjid. We have an imam. We have to develop a link because we need to learn about our deen. Today the biggest single factor that is the downfall of the ummah is ignorance. Because ignorance takes you away from believing in Allah. People don't know what is the meaning of belief in Allah. They don't know what is meant by mahabba of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have failed to understand what is the meaning of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the failure because of ignorance, jahala. And jahala can only be wiped out by learning, making a sacrifice to go out and learn and study. You know, you go back to the words of Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. What have they said initially? They said, this work of ours is such that we want to go to people who are thirsty and show them, make them feel that they are thirsty and lead them to the water. That's the initial work of Tabligh. To let people feel the thirst and to lead them to where they're going to get the water from. One of the akabirin of today say that those who work against the usul, they go to people who are drinking from the water, take them away and leave them aside. Allah protect us. If that's the case, we won't benefit from the work. So we need to know, stick to the principles. And we need to know, stick to what Allah has said. Stick to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. And you will find benefit. You will find goodness. And you need to make a sacrifice. We all understand the sacrifice for dunya. Why don't we understand the sacrifice for the deen? Today you announce a lecture. Subhanallah, when there is a speaker who comes from outside and abroad, masjid is full. But you have our akabirin who are at times far higher in knowledge and spirituality than all those who have visited us from abroad. You find 5-10 people sitting in the bayan. It's a fact. Because why? I want to go back to that Urdu saying, Ghar ki murghi dar barabar. The chicken you are served at home, you don't comment about it. But dar comes from next door, you say, MashaAllah, it's better than the chicken you have. MashaAllah. Why? Because it comes from next door. Wallahi, that rule applies in almost all angles of life. We are sitting with diamonds, with gold mines in our own midst. Wallahi al-azim. Make use of them. Do not let shaitan distract you from what you have. Do not let shaitan distract you from what you have. Never let the hatred of anyone who has studied the deen creep into your heart. No one. Stay far from it. Stay away from it. Say, look, I will benefit. I will do this. I will do that. Find yourself here. Find yourself there. And see whatever benefits you maximum. Make yourself found there more. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. I have spoken a lot. And I have said a lot. I was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before I started. I said, Ya Allah, there is something, there is a gap here. We are unable to fill the gap. But Ya Allah, there are so many ulama trying at the same time. Grant them success. And Ya Allah, the awam that are here, Ya Allah, the awam, we have all been affected. But remember one thing, life carries on. We have to now make a plan. You have a vehicle, you were driving a BMW all along. Now it's not there anymore. At least you got your Toyota. Inshallah, it'll take you. Maybe the service is a bit cheaper with a Toyota, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all goodness. So it's important for us to know that make the most of your time. Our time is also limited in this dunya. Some of us might die when we walk out of this door. Wallahi. Some of us might die in the masjid. Allah grant us a good death. I've learned one thing for sure. Continue making dua for a good death. Allah will give it to you. We have seen it with our eyes, heard it with our ears. It has worked for others, it will work for us. Ask Allah with sincerity, constantly, constantly. Ya Allah, grant us a good death. Grant us death in Medina Munawwara. If He hasn't chosen Medina for you, He'll choose Makkah for you. Allahu Akbar. This is something. A lot of us are worried about what I'm going to earn. You know, you have a bad patch. You can't come out of it. How long is it going to last for? What's the maximum? Put a number. The maximum is until your death. After that, what happens? Everything will be easy. That is the life of a Muslim. A Muslim has to continue in the struggles and the, you know, the sacrifices right up to the point of death when everything now stops. Sacrificing stops. No more sacrificing. Allah says, Subhanallah, Allah will greet you Himself with the word Salam. Salamun alaykum. Bima sabartum. Peace be upon you because of your sabr. Because of your perseverance, because of your continuation and your continuous sacrifice and struggle without losing hope, today you deserve peace from me. When Allah gives you peace, what more do you want? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our doors and grant us goodness. I end with a short dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this dua and to grant us all rahmah, maghfira. Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala ali nabiyyina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم إنك أنت الله لا إله إلا أنت أنت الخالق أنت الرازق يا الله اللهم إنا نحبك ونحب رسولك فأحبنا واجعلنا محبوبين عندك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم يا الله You are our Rabb يا الله We love You يا الله We adore You يا الله Ya Allah, You are the most beloved unto us, Ya Allah. Make us truly from amongst those who love You so much that You come first in everything, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us in every way. You are the greatest. You made us. You created us. We are going to return to You, Ya Ilaha al-Alamin. We are going to return to You. We are at Your mercy now. We were at your mercy in the past. We are at your mercy in the future. We will be at your mercy when we die and beyond. Ya Allah, have mercy on us. Anta ar-Rahmanur Rahim. You are the most forgiving, most merciful. Ya Allah, have mercy on us and forgive us. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, we've committed so many sins through our lives, Ya Allah. So many sins that we've forgotten, most of them, Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, those sins we remember, those sins we don't remember. Those sins we committed openly, those we committed in private. Those, Ya Allah, sins that we have already asked you to forgive us, and those we may not have asked you yet, Ya Allah. Forgive us all the sins, Ya Allah. Every one of us, purify us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant Sheikh Yunus Jannah, Ya Allah. Grant him Jannah, Ya Allah. Make his qabr a garden from the gardens of paradise, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill his qabr with nur, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant him Jannah, Ya Allah. And let the work that he has done throughout his life be accepted by you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept all his efforts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant it continuation, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, so many people have benefited from him, Ya Allah. It is a sign of qabuliyat, Ya Allah. Accept it, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, let him receive the full reward of everybody who has benefited and everybody who will still benefit from the work that he has done, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, he spent tireless days, Ya Allah. He spent days and nights, Ya Allah, sleepless nights, Ya Allah, in your worship, Ya Allah.